This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris. 10 to 2 on 670.
This is our friend, Joe Ostrowski.
Let's go right to the Bears. We are post-draft. Anything change?
They're doing it again.
What exactly are they doing?
Doing it again.
Wish casting and moving the money line in ways that shouldn't happen.
Oh, take a wild guess. Which team has received the most amount of bets on the over? Can anybody guess? They're doing it again. They're betting the Bears over 8.5. That is the most popular win total bet. I rewind to exactly 1 year ago. You know who the favorite was for the coach of the year last year, guys?
It was Matt Eberflus.
What's that?
So we're doing it all again. Not enough paid. We do this to ourselves. It doesn't matter what happened in the past.
Do I think the Bears are going to win more than 8.5 games? Yes, I do.
Yes, I know you do, Layla.
No.
Dime is a flat circle.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello, we have a packed show for you today. Mark Grody is in the house today. Marshall Harris is off. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. I feel like this is a Cubs Monday. Can we do that? Can we
Absolutely.
Use that term?
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be our first Cubs Monday if it's the first time we've used it.
Can Cubs see what I are did there? Ours. Yes.
Welcome to Chicago, Mark.
Thank you.
No matter how. Also, let me laugh at the fact that you and I have both worked here for some time now, but completely are new to so many people. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Good times. All right, let's have fun with everybody today. In fact, we have multiple ways to do so. I mentioned it earlier, we want to take calls on the Cubs. The question at 10:45, do you feel better or worse after this weekend? You win the series, but unfortunately, we don't know the status of the ace of the team right now. So that's at 10:45, 312-644-6767. Also, don't be afraid to use the meatball machine. I know that Marshall and I talked about it last week for the NFL draft. I think that's a segment we can bring back because not only does the meatball machine not talk back and only listen, but it's kind of like on demand. You know, once it's in the meatball machine, it's registered. So
meatball machine.
If you still have thoughts on the Bears draft, that's something you can do as well. That's on the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message. But if you want to talk Cubs, a good place to do it too. And also with us on our text line, or like I said, calls at 10:45. Not only are we discussing Cubs today, James Fegan joins us to talk White Sox. That is at 11:25. They had a heck of a weekend. And at 12 is a scintillating five on it edition today because Grody and I went very stream of consciousness in our group thread over the weekend. And at 1 o'clock, always a pleasure to hear from James Big Cat Williams. Wonderful person to discuss with offensive line, knowing that he's 6'7", he knows a thing or two about playing tackle in the NFL. We're trying to figure out what 6'8" Ozzie Trapillo does. So it's going to be a packed show. Also want to welcome you on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Thanks to our mob for hanging out, as they always tend to do. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya. So I think that takes care of everybody except our producers who have done a great job. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. And yes, I feel like our group thread was a good indication of how we felt watching the Cubs over the weekend, Mark. It was happiness. It was being impressed. It was seeing what they did on Friday night and then carrying it into Saturday. And everything was going until, unfortunately, Shota Imanaga goes down with previously cramps in his quads, but now a left hamstring strain. And suddenly we are asking the question yet again, how much is this going to hurt them?
I think we got a good example of it yesterday in a microcosm, because he exits that game with two outs in the inning, in that sixth inning, in a scoreless game. Julian Merriweather comes in.
Two outs.
Two outs.
That's the hardest part about this.
Yes. And then wild pitch. I mean, legit wild. At first when I saw that, I'm like, No, that was a wild pitch.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. And then Daz Cameron and Caleb Durbin, both with RBI hits. And I wrote those guys' names down because they are of interest to me. Daz Cameron is Mike Cameron's son. Mike Cameron was sitting in the stands at Miller Park. Mike Cameron had a four-home run day against the White Sox after coming up with the White Sox. He did that in a Seattle uniform. And the anniversary of that was just a few days ago. And Caleb Durbin, by the way, Lake Forest kid. But they did the damage. So I thought that that was like I understand we're talking about starting here, but to me, that couldn't have been more symbolic of what's going on, because the start, your second best starting pitcher, maybe your best starting pitcher behind Justin Steele, and I understand he's out right now. He goes out and all hell breaks loose. I don't know if it's sustainable now when you have two starting pitchers out. So that's what I was thinking in the moment.
That's the concern, and the fact that you're already starved as a league for lefty starters, you know, like when you have them and then this happens, like Justin Steele, obviously number one. And now this, you're only built to withstand so much. And unfortunately, unless you're the Dodgers or say the Yankees or the, you know, what I call the billionaire class of the major leagues, you know, the Mets, et cetera.
Yeah.
You're going to be in that spot where this is potentially, I don't know if I'd call it catastrophic, but I wouldn't call it something much less. We asked the question last week after this happened because the collective gasp when Shota went out against the Pirates with the cramping in both legs and the quads was, how much can they afford to lose another one of these? You know, how much can they afford to lose another starting pitcher? How much can they afford to lose anybody? And then the stress of even seeing Kyle Tucker slide into second. You're asking yourself last night, not only was that a loss, you're wondering if they had lost two of their most important players, arguably the top two when you consider PCA. You know, if you're maybe Shota's 2A, you know, and PCA's number two. I don't know how you put it together, but the point is, this is not what you want to be thinking about at this time of the year.
Right, and we did not get away with cramping this time, or a hit to the ding-ding, or lose, or having the wind knocked out of you. I'm like, okay, the old cramps are back again. We'll get some more potato chips and bananas in you, and you'll be fine.
Nope. Something.
Hamstring strain, and yeah, when Kyle Tucker goes down, I'm like, you get up now. No. Do not come out of this game. You know, the trainer and counselor, no, you stay in. And he stayed in. We'll find out. We don't have an update yet on Shota, as far as I know, at this moment. But now, Layla, who are you thinking about now in terms of, because you got to believe that that he's going to miss at least one start. So you've got options now. You've got Chris Flexen. You've got Cade Horton. You've got Jordan of the Wicks. What are you thinking when it comes to a replacement part at this point? And Javier Saad, by the way, not available 60-day DL right now.
Also, here's the problem with the 60-day injured list. And we talked about this a little bit last week. I was a tad more despondent, as I tend to be. But when in the history of baseball has anybody come off of that list on time? I just want to know. Do you know of anybody? Because I can't think of anybody
60-day
who,
DL,
once they hit the 60-day injured list, they were like, oh yeah, here's day number 61, right as rain.
Right, because usually that's just an addition to the 10-day DL. It's like, well, this injury's for real. We're going to park him on the 60-day DL, and he's going to spend 60 days on
the DL. Well, you've got the 10, the 15, and now you have the 60.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 15.
I thought there was still a 15.
Really?
I thought it was 10
and 60 on the injured list. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I tend to think, like, when I look at the potential replacements for Shota Imanaga, let's hope it's just one start. I mean, I feel like I'm being optimistic in thinking about that. But when I look at those three guys, let me eliminate two guys, first of all.
We missed some.
Oh, we did?
7-day. What? I think that's for concussion, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
7-day, 10-day.
But then you take my 75% chance of winning.
You know what? This is the problem. Honestly, we had a horse named Journalism, as we know, in the Derby. They told us in journalism there would be no math. This is not our strong suit. 7-day injured list, 10-day, 15, and 60. Yeah.
What about the bereavement leave?
I don't know how that one works. I think it's...
Okay.
I think you're legally allowed 3 days, and then I think whatever their CBA allows for, you know. Okay. But the point either way is, this is not what I want to be talking about on May 2nd after a series win against the Brewers.
Well, we have to.
In Milwaukee, May 5th. I don't know what day it is anymore, and that is truly baseball season. But the point is, this isn't it. I wanted to sit here and talk to you about how this was great that they took 2-3 against this team in Milwaukee, winning yet another series. You know, perhaps Merriweather's coming into a 2-out situation in the 6th inning and the circle of trust is still there for him. I also, this is maybe a little nitpicky. I don't care who you are, to intentionally walk Rhys Hoskins for your first batter once you get into a game, and I know it's particular circumstance here, does not bode well for me as a baseball watcher. You know, that's not something I want to see.
Putting guys on first and second.
Especially when the Cubs have already had such problems with leadoff walks in innings. Any appearance, I very much bristle at that. And I wonder if that helped the dam break, so to speak. And then we saw the 4-0 lead that amassed.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, I mean, that sucks when you put an extra guy on base for sure. I'm not going to go off on Julian Merriweather because this was an extraordinary circumstance. He is coming in. I assume he hadn't been warming up. Was he warming up at all in that game? So he comes out there, gets as many warm-up pitches as he wants, and he wasn't good. I don't expect pitchers to be good in that spot. We could look at the body of work of Julian Merriweather, and it sucked, and I stand by it. It was symbolic of what happens when you lose a starting pitcher, but I'm not going to get mad at for this game Julian Merriweather because of the circumstance.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, there's some feedback that we're getting, like 847 says pitchers have turned into glass dolls. Here's my issue though, is that it's kind of like a racehorse, to use another Derby example. The more finely tuned you get at your job and the more velocity that comes with every pitch you throw, then perhaps, yeah, you're going to be more fragile in other areas to gain strength and power in this one. So this is just the world we live in now, where this is part of the issue and part of the discussion. It's similar to when we talked about how, for example, if you're a White Sox team that needed 6 Tommy John surgeries in a month, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So in trying to figure out this, we're all trying to see together whether or not Shota Imanaga is going to miss one start or if it's going to be more. That's the position you don't want to be in. And it doesn't get any easier. Yeah, you play the Pirates, but there's a 3-game series ahead of us tonight against the Giants. So you can hear on the score, by the way. And mm-hmm. we are going to give away some tickets related to baseball and the score coming up in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, thanks to Nuts on Clark for dropping us some popcorn.
There's a lot of popcorn out.
Foreshadowing for you.
I can't believe Haw didn't take the big bag of popcorn out of here.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. But either way, like, this is not... Cubs are 21-14. This is not what I wanted to be talking about right now. I wanted to celebrate what we saw were two very solid games against a Brewers team that I think is still very much a challenge. You know, Pat Murphy's on Inside the Clubhouse over the weekend, and he's aw-shucksing himself into this interview, laughing with David and Bruce. But at the same time, I'm like, what do you mean? It's aw-shucks, and then suddenly you've won 90 games every season, and you win the division. I don't want to hear it out of you.
Well, it's nice to see the Cubs at 22-13, but what's nicer is to see the Brewers at 16-19 because they got off to a fast start last year. So that's even nicer to see when you start to bury the other teams in the division, and the Cubs just simply were not able to do that last year. So that's still a good thing.
Absolutely. But either way, now we're trying to figure out who comes up and
yes.
who's next.
Yes.
I think Chris Flexen makes sense. you know, given his role on the White Sox and how he helped them. And I think that's why the Cubs picked him up. But tell me how this isn't only a matter of time before you call up Cade Horton. Oof. You know, you were the Cubs reporter during their run of the three straight NLCSs. And it got me thinking about how on good teams, if this is really your time where you have a year of Kyle Tucker guaranteed, your timeline is therefore forced to make decisions that maybe you didn't want to make. You're going to call up guys sooner rather than later. Think about when Wilson Contreras got called up and what that meant to the Cubs at the time.
And he hit a homer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I remember the excitement just being like, oh, this is serious now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the guy was ready. That's the thing about Cade Horton. Like, the guy had shoulder surgery. I mean, talking about injuries.
Yeah, that's scary.
So I don't think I'm with you. Like, I'm not ready for Cade Horton. I think that would be a mistake at this point, although he's been very good.
I mean, he's throwing like six innings, five innings. Like, that's doable when
right.
you consider how that might translate to the big league.
It wouldn't be crazy. And then Jordan Wicks, I don't know what's going on with Jordan Wicks, but all I know is the last time I saw Jordan Wicks come up, it was against the San Diego game, the famous Padres game at Wrigley Field, where the Padres scored 10 runs in an inning and the Cubs still managed to win that game. Like, something that got pushed to the background in that because it was Porter Hodge that gave up the grand slam. Jordan Wicks comes in that game and gave up three straight sharp singles. Couldn't blame that on the wind blowing out. Something was amiss with Jordan Wicks on that day, and I get it. It was a crazy day. Hodge comes in. He gives up the grand slam, but that was on Wicks's watch. I don't know what's going on with him, but I'm not ready for him, so I am with you on Chris Flexen, who did pitch on Friday for the Cubs in the Brewers game. Three innings, allowed one run, so they're using him, and he is overall at Iowa 3-0 with a 1.16 ERA and 21 strikeouts. Flexen is the right guy and nobody else.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I don't believe it's nobody else. I would love to see Cade Horton.
Oh, I'd love to see. Like,
it's got to be right.
Yeah,
if
I don't
you
think that's
have,
right.
If you have the leeway to be able to work with a guy like Chris Flexen, where that is now the discussion, and I think you said this in our pre-show meeting, and I think it stands to help understand the situation we're in. Jameson Taillon is now your de facto ace. Until we know the help and the health of Shota Imanaga, not just the help, but the health.
Yes.
That is the situation.
We must protect Taillon. Protect this man.
At all costs.
Next man up.
Put him in bubble wrap.
Yes. Give him a massage. Whatever he needs.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing
that
thing.
Fan him down. Yes.
Yeah. And he's such a nice guy, too. Just make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
But that's not the point here. The point is you're looking at right now Taillon, Matt Boyd, Ben Brown has to. We already talked about how he has to step up, and now it's a demand yet again.
He did, though. He stepped up on Friday.
Yeah, he did.
Good.
That was the best response that he could have in that case.
He didn't realize how important that it already was important that he be good. Now it's even more important that he be good.
Truth. And if Shota doesn't come out of that game, we're probably talking about a sweep against the Brewers, considering all those runs were scored with two outs.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was painful. It
but
really was.
That just goes to show you how the dam can break like that.
Oh, yeah. I was considering betting on the Cubs to win still, like after the four runs. I was
mean the game?
Yeah. I was like, I mean, it would have been great money, but because just the way the Cubs have been scoring and some of their wins this year, I was like, I bet the Cubs are going to come back. And no, they didn't. They were as cooked as we were watching it. You know what I mean? They realized the moment and the four runs being scored in a game where nobody was scoring runs. It's over at that point.
Not only is it over, it's that's the concern, is that you want to feel like you're still in that game. And I felt like even in the ninth inning, that was the case. But this is to say the very least, not ideal. We are going to focus on two very solid games that we saw on Friday and Saturday after this Cubs team beat the Brewers in the first two. Because I think there are some real lessons to be learned as to why it's not just all Kyle Tucker and why there is more success to be had. I mentioned Jameson Taillon earlier. He had some really pointed stuff about what he's doing against righties. I want to bring that up. Mark Grody had some interesting audio he found from PCA. So we're going to do a little sexy baseball sound off next. It is Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's a deep drive into right center field off the bat of Pete Crow Armstrong. This ball's going to leave the yard. A home run for PCA.
Wonderful to see success. And it's wonderful to see Pete Crow Armstrong hit one deep into right field.
Second deck
and second homer of the game for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Love to hear Pat and Ron talk about Cubs baseball and give us calls like that here on The Score. This is Rahimi and Harris, your midday show on The Score. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. And not only have I enjoyed Mark Grody's presence, but every time I bring up an idea, not only do you match me, you raise it.
I see your idea and I raise it, man.
And I love it because together, do you know what that makes?
Chemistry?
A team.
Oh my God, we just became a team. We just became a team.
On our first Cubs Monday.
It just happened. Oh my, yes, our first Cubs Monday.
Welcome to Chicago.
Shock caller.
I do like that song. So let's go back to Saturday, where I feel like you and I were both in taking a lot of the post-game show from what was really just a fun game to watch. At that point, the Cubs had taken the first two games of the series against the Brewers, as we talked about. Great pitching performance from Ben Brown the day before. The offense went to match it often and early in that game. They followed up with a 6-2 win on Saturday. That got us thinking not only about Jose Quintana, which we will talk about a little later in the show, but also just the performances that we had seen. I felt like there was a lot of good post-game sound that was up for discussion. Jameson Taillon, again, coming through. He's 2-1, 6 innings on the day. He only gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs. He had 5 strikeouts and a single walk. And given this Cubs team and the walks, too, that was a great thing to see. So Taillon had a lot to say about just his approach against right-handed batters, and I thought it was worth sharing. This is the beginning of Sexy Baseball Sound Off. Mm.
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with, like, just the package already. It's, like, what I want to do. So it's, like, no secret. It's a lot of four seams, cutters, and sliders. And then it just comes down to execution. I feel like maybe in the past I was a little bit cloudy on what I wanted to do to lefties and righties, and now I have a pretty clear idea of, like, this is our A attack plan. Here's what we want to do, and then we adjust off of that when we need to. Like, I thought my spin tonight was just okay, and I still got some pretty good results just by mixing and blending it all.
Sexy anyone?
But it is, though, when you hear him talk about, he's got so many pitches, and what he's able to do with them, I think, always stands to be discussed. There was a time a couple years ago where I thought he was throwing that sweeper too much. You know, when the sweeper first came out, I felt like it was negatively affecting his slider. Now that's a pitch he's leaned into more. Now you hear him game plan for what he's doing right now against right-handed batters, and it's making it all make sense. He's so adjustable in that way.
He's so self-aware at this point in his career. I think that his self-awareness has probably helped him and hurt him throughout his career, because he does sound like a guy who is in his own head, who's willing to admit when things go wrong. So that's not always good. I was talking during the pre-show meeting that it's like Braxton Jones who wants to tell you about his weaknesses and things that go wrong. So he's sort of doing it for his own therapy. But yeah, man, like, I tend to think that at this point in his career, Jameson Taillon is who he is. He can give you some really good starts, and all of a sudden he'll do it. I mean, like a typical number three starter in Major League Baseball. But he has showed up now in maybe two of the biggest games of the year for the Cubs, or I should say against really good opponents. Against Philadelphia was an even better start, where he goes 7 innings and allows 1 run.
Right.
Then he follows it up with this. That's not always what he's done in his career, where he's followed up a great start with another great start, and it's right on time.
Well, not only is it right on time, but when he's needed to be depended on, whether it was this season or last season, he's also been that person. And he's had his fair share of struggles. You know, I especially think about his first season, where the Cubs paid a lot of money for him at the time, respective to his talent.
Sure.
and given his market for his services. And we were wondering if that was the beginning of the end for him pitching-wise. And instead, you're seeing the opposite of that, whether it was last year or now this year, what you're seeing now. He's the type of guy who, if he has a hiccup, it's not going to last him very long.
Yeah.
So I appreciated him just talking about what he's adjusting to and how he's making all of this work for him. I feel like that is a that was very valid to the conversation when you're trying to figure out the success of this team and where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely important, no doubt about it.
It was not just that. It was just how that whole game came together for me on Saturday. Yeah, you're only using three pitchers. Tyone goes six. Merriweather comes into the game, clean inning. And then Brad Keller throws two, and then that's your ball game. Like, I'll take that all day.
I'll also take PCA hitting a three-run homer off Jose Quintana. And you know what the best part of the game on Saturday was, don't you? My favorite part of the game on Saturday, Justin Damn Turner with a two-out RBI single. Justin Turner! It's so funny because we're at the point in the Justin Turner career where when people are asked about Justin Turner, they go automatically to, well, he's a really good mentor. Everybody in the locker room loves him. The veterans love him. The rookies love him. He's a great guy. The fans love him. No. We need two-out RBI hits from you, Justin Turner. We need you to play a little bit of infield right now. Enough with the whole good locker room guy stuff.
I mean, yes, and based on how they paid him. You know, it's $5
million. $5
million. That's not the vet minimum last time I checked.
Right.
And they told us about this. And the way they're actively using him, the way they're actively trying to platoon he and Michael Bush, who we know brings a lot offensively.
Granny.
And there have been times where Craig Counsell has defaulted to Justin Turner's defense as well. You know, there have been key times where he's defaulted to his defense instead of having Bush's bat as a pinch hitting option or in the lineup. So if that's the case, then it has to be more than just good locker room guy.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Bad locker room guys are horrid. But that's not going to last, man. That's like you got to keep doing that. Loved seeing it. I think Turner knew how big that moment was. So good for him on that day.
His average is now up to 167.
Okay.
I hate that. I selectively use average in discussions, but yeah. Unfortunately, it might indicate what we've been working with so far. Only good things can happen for him after the month of April as far as being at the plate is concerned.
That's right. That's right. Are you ready for PCA? Can I raise you a PCA now?
Yes. Okay. As we continue our sexy baseball sound off?
Yes. Sexy baseball sound off. All right. Let me give you a few things on PCA here that I thought were outstanding. You might have seen this too. Shout out to the Marquee Sports Network. They came up with some great numbers here on PCA. First of all, number one, he's the only Cub in the last 125 seasons with 9 homers, 21 RBIs, and 6 stolen bases over a 17-game span. So that's a pretty cool nugget that Marquee was able to dig up. Here's another one from them. And this one matters more. The first 17 games for PCA, Pete Crower Armstrong, Pete as he likes to be called, 197 batting average, 0 home runs, 258 slug. His K rate was 23.3%. Hard hit rate, 34%.
Oof.
And, Layla, are you ready for this?
Yes.
In his last 17 games, a 343 average, 9 homers, 866 slug, a K rate of 17.1, hard hit rate of 47.4%. And so
that will work.
That will work. So I ask PCA the question that I have asked many Cubs reporters and Cubs insiders, including Bruce Levine. I remember asking, I think he was the most recent person that I asked about PCA. And the question they ask is, who is this guy? We know that he's a good outfielder. We know he's an excellent base stealer. Even though yesterday, my God, William Contreras may have made the best defensive play of the entire series by gunning down PCA. Sometimes you just got to say, wow, that's just a great throw.
The Contreras brothers have been inspired by Yadier Molina, who you famously never stole a base on.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a...
It's a sick throw.
It's definitely help their repertoire.
Oh, if you appreciate the art of the throw down to second, it's one of the best I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Watch William Contreras throw
okay,
out PCA. Anywho, so I've always asked, like, who is this guy? PCA, I ask you, who are you, man?
Yeah, no, those are misses, you know. I think, I mean, I'm just trying to stay the big part of the field. A lot of the times when you go up and you see what happens in my last at bat. So, I don't know who I am as an offensive player just yet, but the goal stays the same, and that's just getting on base and being able to make stuff happen.
I don't know who I am as an offensive player yet. That That's the right answer. I love that it answered that way, because guess what? Nobody else knows who he's going to be. And I know, like, a lot of people are now starting to say it's legitimate because he's gotten some national shine when the ESPN game recently, that he was the story. I'd imagine the on Apple, because I was watching the game with the sound down at a sushi place on Friday. So I would imagine that they
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You were sneaking watching the game at a sushi spot?
Yeah.
What's your go-to role?
Were you supposed to be...
Tornado.
Were you supposed to be focused on the person or persons at the dinner?
Oh, no. It was a friend. It was my dear, dear friend, Lisa. We're just friends. We're just friends.
Okay.
That's right.
Does she think that?
No, she does. Absolutely. 100% she thinks that. Yes.
I had to ask.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
So was she like, hey, what's distracting you? And you're like, nothing.
No, she was into it too.
The phone in your pocket.
She is a sports fan as well. So we were watching everything. NBA, the Cub with the Sox on that night. Too.
The sock.
Yeah. We were watching all of it. But
Sox had a great weekend. That was a no-doubter of a win for them on Friday.
Yeah, well, they came back from down 4-1 in the fifth yesterday. That's pretty impressive.
And then won thanks to weather and the force.
Yeah, I don't know who any of their players are, but it's pretty cool. That
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know a few of them. But PCA doesn't know who he is yet. I don't know who he is yet. I know this about PCA. I know this. He's not swinging for singles anymore. He's not just trying to put the ball in play anymore. He's swinging for home runs at this point. And I guess good. And he's still swinging at everything. I guess good. But I think eventually, like, if he goes into a slump, that's when they'll make the adjustments. Right now, I think that the Cubs are enabling him in a good way and saying, you be you. Not just with the blue hair and the pimping stuff and just all the PCA-ness. I think that they are telling PCA, be you at the plate, too. It's not ideal. It's not always ideal. You're not going to be hitting leadoff with that approach. But be you.
Well, and if it ain't broke, lead off batter-wise or lineup-wise, do not fix it.
Exactly.
In fact, it was Elise Menneker, I believe, or was it? It was either Elise or Taylor. I think it was Taylor because it was during the game, during the series. Talked about PCA's viewpoint on Ian Happ being so important where he is in their lineup right now. And if everybody seemingly is happy with where they are in this lineup because it is producing, then the last thing you do is want to mess with it. I feel like in this case, when we're talking about PCA swinging for the fences, I don't think that's what we're seeing.
Okay.
I think this is a function of timing. He's getting power out of his swing because he is waiting that tiny, tiny, tiny amount of time longer to let that ball come to him so he can help let his bat generate the power.
I think he's swinging for home runs. I think he loves the home runs.
I think he loves them too. Yeah. But I think he... Like, for example, Kyle Tucker, you know exactly what pitch is going to generate a home run out of him. You know, if it's middle in, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to PCA, I don't see that right now. You know, some of the balls are low. They're bad balls, okay, so to speak.
Yeah, he does hit a lot of bad balls. By the way, do you agree with this text here? Sushi is more important than baseball, says the Sox fan who's boycotting his team.
I think that's something you are welcome to submit. Also, Mark Grody and I are marinating on the next question. We want to do the same with you. 312-644-6767. It is a simple discussion of you take two of three from the Brewers at their place. You are far and away leading this division right now. But do you feel better or worse after this weekend as we wait on the health of Shota Imanaga trying to piece this all together? PCA this all together? That's next. Nice. Rahimi and Harris, nice. Mark Grody on the score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, we'll probably do some imaging to see what's going on. He's never had any lower body, you know, muscle strains. So he's a little unsure of what the feeling means. But he felt something for sure.
That was Craig Counsell talking about Shota Imanaga's hamstring strain. And this is not the first time we've heard Craig Counsell talk about imaging with Shota Imanaga. He did the same thing last week when Shota had to exit the series against the Pirates. That time, it was cramps in his quads. This is Rahimi and Harris on the score. Mark Grody is in, and we're asking the question, do you feel better or worse after this weekend watching the Cubs take two of three, but having an injury to their ace? 312-644-6767. I feel like I'm in the middle. I think it's worse when we know what the situation is, but I'm still happy about the fact that they took two or three the way they did. You saw a bounce back performance, as you mentioned, from Ben Brown. You saw a consistent performance out of Jameson Taillon. The thing that concerns me about seemingly these third games of series and Sunday games in particular for the Cubs is, for some reason, when things fail, it fails in a spectacular manner. You know, the Cubs go back to what we've seen them when they've had their old ways, so to speak, where it's only singles that they're hitting, or they're only managing four or five hits in a game. And that was the case, you know, yesterday, Mark Grody, was that loss was indicative of struggles we have seen before out of this team. They're not nearly as common as they were last year. But when you're talking about only five hits for the game, your other team takes advantage of the bullpen situation where maybe Julian Merriweather has worked a lot, or you're just facing the wrong part of the lineup at that time coming in relief. Brewers get two out hitting to the tune of four runs scored. That's all they need to shut them out. And I'm still kind of in the middle about it.
I feel worse. And I get where you're coming from. I mean, the Cubs are 22-13, and they have gotten off to the start against some really good teams. But I got to the point where I was starting to put away my take of the Cubs can win the division, but they can't do damage in the playoffs. I looked around Major League Baseball, and there are teams better than the Cubs, but not many teams better than the Cubs. And I think that the hitting that they've been doing is legitimate. So that's going to be very helpful. But if you're a team that is going to do damage in the postseason, the most important part is not going to be the guys hitting the baseball. It's going to be the guys throwing the baseball, and you've lost your two top starters. So in Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga. And now you're in a situation where it's been a revelation that Matthew Boyd has been so good. It's a bit of a revelation that, oh my God, Colin Ray has been really good. Ben Brown finally had a good start. Now, though, you have to depend on these guys to be good. Pressure is on. The light shines brighter. Jameson Taillon, it's been really nice. He's been really good in his last two starts. Now you are depending on Jameson Taillon to be great to get you through this part. I don't know if I can depend on any of the gentlemen that I just mentioned now. So I feel a little worse. The Cubs also got off to a really good start last year. It's easy to forget because of the abomination that was the bullpen last year, all the blown saves by the two closers for the Cubs last year. So it's easy to forget that they had a good start last year, similar to this year. So I'm a little scared right now, Layla.
I think it wasn't. They got off to a somewhat good start, but when you consider the slugging percentage respective on the team, it was not good.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like, they didn't have any power. They were walking a ton. It was 2-1 discussions, you know, relatively speaking, when it came to how they were winning. It was low scoring, low margins of I feel like, scoring in that respect.
Yeah.
This is a little more indicative of what we're seeing of a consistent baseball team. One big difference, though, Mark, has been the play of the defense. It's not good enough.
Right, right.
And I don't think there's a Cub out there that would disagree with us on this. There have been way too many errors so far already this season. There's been too many miscues trying to figure out, are you ambitious when you're trying to field this ball? Or is it a case of miscommunication? Or maybe is it a case of being in the wrong place when it comes to expecting where a batter might throw it based on what your pitcher is doing throwing? So I don't know. That's the part of it that also bothers me is we're so used to talking about what is typically a really strong defensive infield, and that has not been the case, well, especially at the corners.
The good news is that, well, yeah, I don't know if I have anything for you for third base, but it should get back, it should normalize. And Dansby Swanson has been straight up great. He's been great, great, great. He's one error this year, I think.
Yeah, Dansby defensively is never my concern.
No, but if we're talking about defense, let's give him a little bit of credit. You're right. Horner's really, we know the track record is there. Michael Busch struggled at the beginning of last year as a first baseman, then got good. We know Ian Happ is a Gold Glover. PCA got no issues. Kyle Tucker has had some moments this year. Like, I think Kyle Tucker has been an average outfielder, and part of it, at least on two occasions that I've seen, you can blame it on Wrigley Field and dealing with the dimensions out there, which is why I'm like, oh man, he hates Wrigley Field. He hates the Cubs. He's not going to want to sign here because of that outfield. So
he needs to experience the summer here.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
But unfortunately, hopefully that doesn't come for another couple weeks.
Yeah. I feel worse knowing that Jed and Tom will try to piece things together instead of getting legit help. I disagree with that. It's a go-for-it year. Jed Hoyer, and I think even Tom Ricketts, is not going to be afraid to make trades and pour resources into it. It's after the season that you can make that comment if Tom Ricketts doesn't bring back Kyle Tucker.
But I'm a big believer in, Dan used to jokingly call it the Raheem Doctrine. I don't know that it deserves that all credit, but I'm a big believer in whatever your window is defined by the contract of your most talented player.
Oh, yeah, the window.
So that means your window is this year.
Right, that's right. That's what we're dealing with. And I think within this season, I think that Jed Hoyer will go all out. He will do what he has to do to win games this year and to make good on that. So it's like we're all standing by to see what the next move is here by Jed Hoyer.
I like 847. As much as I love one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, I'd really love one more starting pitcher, one bullpen, and one third baseman. I'm happy and worried. I feel like this is a very common sentiment when it comes to what the Cubs need. Yeah, especially when it comes to bullpen. Whenever you think you have enough, if you're really wanting to be a contender, you add more. Unfortunately, that usually means a very spendy trade somewhere around the deadline. And I think given how much they're using their trusted relievers already, they might be careening toward that case.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this is the first year in a while that they brought in a closer in Ryan Presley. So that shows you that they think that they are in a winning season, in a winning year, or a winning window of 1 year.
Which is why I think they should talk to Cade Horton about his plans later.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Cade Horton?
Yeah.
Oh, like you want Cade Horton here?
I do.
I thought you were with me.
I like Chris Flexen.
The reflex, flex, flex, flex.
But I also think that if you're really wanting to go for it this season, it's not a matter of if, it is when.
I don't think he's ready. I don't think Cade Horton is ready. I know, like, that's the sexy pick. Of course, everybody wants Cade Horton. He's when a first-round pick.
Here's the thing.
He's
who's
the
ever,
hope.
Who's ever really ready when your team is trying to contend?
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, you did make the point about all those guys coming up in 15 and 16, and every single one of them contributed. It could be. I mean, the guy had a shoulder injury last year, so it just that scares
yeah,
me.
Yeah, shoulder is always a bigger
scares
concern.
Me.
Like,
yep.
It's the higher up the chain of the arm you go, the more worried you get. Finger, wrist, elbow,
yeah,
shoulder.
Yeah.
We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris on the Score. Mark Grody is in with us, so we got to talk some Bears, right?
Bears.
The question was submitted in honor of our friend Steve Rosenblum. If the Bears go 9-8 without making the playoffs, is it acceptable? I got some thoughts about this. I know you do too. Again, feel free to text us. Feel free to call our meatball machine, 312-644-6767. It's the Midday Show on the Score.